Everybody this morning? Amen. I'm blessed. I'd like to share a song this morning with you that the Lord gave me a while back. And I pray that you're blessed. I know I'm blessed every time I sing it. And what a wonderful time it'll be, the song speaks of, when we see the Lord face to face, when we get there, when we get to heaven. Amen. There's going to be shouting and singing and rejoicing in the Lord. So I want to share this song. And like I said, I pray that you're blessed this morning. So. Shout. When I get to heaven, I'll be so proud, so proud. I just want to thank you, my Savior, for dying on the cross.
Oh, little victory.
Victory in Jesus. Amen. God bless you all.
Praise God. I almost feel like saying encore. Praise God. Thank you, Eric. It's always nice when you discover some talent in the church, amen, that you can say, wow, days ahead look very bright. Praise God. Well, it's good to have you all here today. And I know there's a lot of people missing this morning. Wow. And I started hearing over the last couple of weeks, Pastor, we won't be here on Christmas Eve day and all that. And I started counting them up, and I thought, man, we're getting up to 15, 20 people. And then I looked around, there's still others that didn't tell me they weren't going to be here, and they're not here. But we're glad you're here, amen? And we are here to celebrate the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? Hallelujah. And a thank you to Brandy. You don't even know what I'm going to thank her for yet. Thank you, Brandy, for doing that. Just pitched in. We trained her this morning. So that's why the words were a little slow coming and so forth. Wendy could not be here this morning. She had to take John to the hospital. And Amanda, who normally does it, she's not here this morning. So, hey, we depend upon people, don't we? And so I'm very grateful that other people pitch in and help in those moments where we don't have somebody. So thank you, Brandy. If you want to click on the right side, you can come up here and sit with your husband. That would be just wonderful. Hallelujah. Now, that's the last slide. So if you could bring it back to the very top one, that would be very great. Hallelujah. This morning, I'm going to be jumping all over the scriptures, so I'm not going to give you any one scripture, but I'm going to be jumping around, so I can't give you anything. For me, I'm so blessed. It's been a great month of December. Thank you. Great month of December, and it has been, you know, just been working towards what we're going to be celebrating tonight and tomorrow. We've been very busy through this month, having a drama and suppers and all kinds of things. I'm sure with your family, it's the same way that you're going through all kinds of festivities and things. But you know, all those things, even though it's a busy December, it's all heading towards this day. And so as I look at this, you know, even though we've been busy, the best is yet to come. Amen? Tomorrow, we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the best is yet to come. So praise God. It's been a great month of December, and I really appreciate what's been going on. And I'm so blessed as we just come to this day. Now, the only thing that I'm kind of negative on is what has happened outside, okay? I haven't really appreciated what's been going on out there. Some of you may like that. I don't know. We can take you to the hospital after as well. But I had just kind of like my mind is somewhere south with a palm tree kind of waving like that and gentle breeze and a beach and nice white sand and walk along your feet in the sand. Can you feel it? And just kind of trudge along the sand on a beach somewhere. That's my kind of living, you know, that where I'd kind of like to be there. Not out there with my left arm. Oh, Betty, can you take over? No. And going through all the struggles that come. But here we are. We're just barely into the winter, and already it's coming at us pretty fast. Well, I was in the senior's home the other day at St. Joseph's and had a wonderful time. Jackie and Leona were there, and Margaret and Diane were there, and Grace was there with us as well, and great support. It's a wonderful time. I always like telling little jokes on this time of year. And I shared some of them with you, not all of them, but I just like to share these with you as well. You know, what's white and goes up? A confused snowflake. I was kind of hoping a lot of them would go back up and get confused. How does good King Wenceslas like his pizza? Deep and crisp and even. Hallelujah. What do you get when you cross an iPad with a Christmas tree? A pineapple. How do sheep say Merry Christmas? Feliz Navidad. That's how sheep say it. Feliz Navidad. Okay. Amen. Praise God. So I'm going to be jumping all over this today in the scriptures, and so I can't give you any one reference where we're going to go. But I do want you to come back tonight for the Christmas Eve service. We're going to have a candlelight service. It's going to be a beautiful family gathering as we come together and just enjoy each other's presence as we worship and celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we invite you to come back 6:30 tonight and come and just enjoy. I was reading a story about a barber in a small town that was celebrating Christmas, and he was busy cutting hair. And one day, one of the local policemen walked in for a haircut. And the barber was feeling a little bit generous that day and feeling the festivity of the season, Christmas and all that. And so he gave the policeman a haircut, and he says, "No charge." And so, "Are you sure about that?" says the policeman. He says, "Yes, I just feel I'd like to bless you today and for one of our local enforcers of our rural area and city that we would just like to do that for you this morning." So the next day he came to his barber shop, and wouldn't you know it, there in front of his shop was a dozen donuts. Did you know the police go to Tim Hortons a lot? Well, there was a dozen donuts there waiting for the grateful man, and the policeman there was giving them to him. Well, that was pretty good. And so the barber thought, well, that was nice. And so the next day, there was the local florist came in, and he felt generous again. So he decided for the local florist, he says, "There's your haircut, no charge." And so the fellow was really blessed. And so anyway, the next day, the barber came into his barber shop, and there at the front of his store was a great big bouquet of flowers. Isn't that wonderful? Now, pastors are weird, aren't they? See, another day, in walked the local preacher, and the barber felt very generous again, and so he said to the preacher, he says, "Haircut's on me, no charge." So the preacher was very thankful. But the next day, the barber walked into the barber shop, and there were a dozen preachers there waiting for a haircut. Hallelujah. See, I believe that when you think about a story like that, it's kind of like that many times that they think that preachers are after something. I don't know why. Maybe it's because we take up the tithes and the offerings all the time. They always say that you pastors are always after our wallets and our purses, you know, and it's not really like that. But I believe that you and I, as Christians, should be characterized by our generosity and our love. People should know us by our giving, by our love, and what we do for other people. And so I really feel that, you know, that we should be those kind of people. You see, I believe that Christmas is a beautiful time of the year. It's too bad we've got the snow. Yeah, I know, and all that. Just it's out there. It seems to pollute up our weather. But all for all you snow lovers, I know that you like it. But nevertheless, here we are in the Christmas season, in the winter, plunged into another winter. Yet the victory of the season is the knowledge of Jesus Christ. When you have that knowledge, you're above the snowfalls and the storms and everything that happens around us. Because you've got the knowledge of Jesus Christ, you've got something to hold you, to keep you going through all these things. It's a blessing to have Jesus in our lives. It's a blessing to have him in our lives every day that you and I live. Jesus more than compensates for the climate changes all around us, amen, and all those difficulties in life that we go through. And you know, and I'm very sorry, Leona, that Nelson is in the hospital with pneumonia. But you know, when we came in, we both looked at each other, and we know we've got something to hold on to in these times of life. We've got Jesus, and he's holding on to us. And so whatever we go through, all those difficulties and traumas and the things that just go on in our life, thank God that we've got Jesus. I don't know how people outside the walls of the church and outside the faith ever make it through some of the circumstances. I guess that's why we get so many suicides and things happening out there, that people just don't know where to turn, so they end their lives. I thank God that we know where to turn. His name is Jesus. We can turn to him at any time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He's always there for us. His love is more than enough to fill us all up for every season, every difficulty, and everything you and I go through for all the times of the year. Amen. So thank God for Christmas. Amen. I'm dreaming of a right Christmas. Hallelujah. Let's see if this works now. So here we are, Christmas Eve day. You can't get much closer than this. So that's what I want to preach on today. If you want a sermon title, I don't really give them out all that often, but here it is. You can't get much closer than this. How close are we to Jesus today? How close are we? Someone once said, maybe you've heard this saying, close only counts in horseshoes. Anybody ever heard that? Yeah, it's kind of a saying, you know, that I guess when you're throwing horseshoes, when you're close, you score a point or whatever. And somebody once said that close only counts when you're playing horseshoes. But I choose to disagree. Close only counts when it is spiritually sound in our lives for a great desire to be close to God. To be close to God. So today, can't get much closer than this. How close are you to the one who was born to give us this Christmas? How close are you to him? Aren't you glad that today that it's absolutely possible to get closer to God? It is absolutely possible for you and I to get closer to God, to have a desire to get close to him, to have a hunger to get closer to him, to have a thirst for more of the things of God, and an appetite, spiritually speaking, that I want to get closer to God. God will never turn away a person like that. If you've got that kind of a hunger, I mean, God just opens the doors and come on in. Let's sup together and just enjoy each other. But then again, you can have no desire. You can have no appetite, no hunger, no things for a desire to get closer to God. You could even have a ho-hum type of an attitude, and just that will only keep us in the same place in our life, or if we continue in those kinds of walks, it will only take us down in a place where we are not close to God. I love some of the Christmas songs that are being played out there, and it's kind of neat because when I listen to some of these Christmas songs, they speak about a closeness, even though many of the songs of our world don't deal with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm always grateful when you're in a store, you hear something sung about Jesus Christ. I mean, I was in Walmart the other day, and all of a sudden on the speaker came, "Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining." It's kind of like you as a Christian, you're standing in a Walmart, and I'm looking around to see if anybody's listening to this music, you know, to see if it's doing anything to them, and they're just putting stuff in their shopping carts and everything else as they go around trying to get that last minute, whatever. But, you know, as I listen to some of the world songs out there, there seems to be this desire, this closeness as you listen to it. Have you ever heard that song, "I'll be home for Christmas"? You know, and it speaks about the distance of relationship, but there's somebody is coming home that normally would not be there. And so they'll be there. And so I look at that. It's kind of like there's a closeness there. "I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones we used to know." You know, and you feel that closeness of the relation of the season, and it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. There's this feeling like you want to be there. It's like you want to jump right in and get close to whatever it is. They're called heartwarming songs, where they kind of warm into the heart and they get you there. Those songs give us the delight of the season approaching of Christmas. It's as if when people write these songs, they are looking forward to something. It's like they want to get to that family gathering or perhaps even snow on the ground, you know, when they sing Jingle Bells or something like that, or just dreams come true, you know, when you get to Christmas. It's all getting closer, or so they think, and so they sing these songs for us. But for Christians, when we sing the songs about Jesus, his birth, his love, his coming, the first advent, we hopefully are finding ourselves being drawn closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christmas is one of those times in the year, a great time to find ourselves getting closer to God. I trust that you are finding yourself getting closer to God this time of year. I'm sure that perhaps many of us are getting closer to the higher numbers on the scales as we get there. But the season seems to have this ability to make us more vulnerable to his love. I like Christmas. It opens up the heart to the wonderful things that God has for us. You know, when Peter was standing there with the rest of the disciples and Jesus was looking at them, and Jesus was being voiced all around about who he was and what he was doing and so forth. And Jesus looked at his disciples and said, like, what are the people out there saying about me? Who do they think I am? And of course, Peter and others and the disciples, you know, said they think you're Elijah or John the Baptist come back to life or one of the prophets. They're really talking about you. You're a good teacher. And all these things they're saying about him. But Peter stood up to the plate and said, you know, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, you didn't get that by your flesh and blood. That was revealed to you by my Father in heaven. He supernaturally poured that into your life, that you didn't come up to that on your own accord. His Spirit led you into that place. You were drawn. The Father drew you into that place. And so your flesh and blood, your ways, your work and everything else couldn't get to that place. But the Father opened up because you were drawing closer to Him. And the closer you drew to Him, the more He was able to put truth into your heart. And that's why you're able to say that right now, Peter, is because you've been drawn by the Father's love, because you wanted something from God. In other words, something spiritual was taking place as the Father was pouring out the truth into Peter's heart. And many look and hear about Jesus at this time of the year, and it's amazing. I can never figure this out, but every time we could play a song like Oh Holy Night in Walmart, people continue to do what they do. They can walk past the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, walk past those songs, reject everything about the Lord Jesus Christ, and go on just like business as usual. I don't get it, how they can get to that place, even though God is pouring out right now. There is so much love and the intensity of the songs and the season that we're in right now. I don't know how people can pass by and just get on to the next month and the next day and everything else, because they resist the planting, I believe, of the Father's love into their hearts. They resist it. They repel it. It's sad when people can reject all those things about the Lord Jesus Christ and the immense love that the Father's heart has for you and I. It's amazing. All God wants to do is get close to us. All He wants to do is be in relationship with us. We are His creation. He wants to walk with us and talk with us and be in that relationship. And I like what Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 44. Jesus summed it up perfectly by these words. And of course, He's the perfect Son of God. So whenever you read something that's in your red letter edition, you know that Jesus is speaking so profoundly and deeply to us. But in John chapter 6, verse 44, Jesus said this: no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. And so that's the only way that you and I can ever get into the Father's heart. It's equally important, and the Word shows us the negative of all this. If we fail to allow that drawing power of the Father's heart to bring us to Jesus, to motivate our lives, the Word also says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in them. Wow. If anybody rejects or walks away or doesn't want to know Jesus, then God has no pleasures, and that they have no relationship. They have no walking together. And I like what James said by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. James said some really great things, but here's what he said: draw near to God and He will draw near to you. That's so profound. It's not very, very big or anything like that. I mean, that's just the law of what happens when you come to God. Draw near to God and God will draw near to you. I like what it says in the New Living Translation. It says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Simple, isn't it? I mean, we don't have to do anything. Just get closer to Him. Get closer to Him. Then I went over to the Jerusalem Bible. I love the Jerusalem Bible. Did you know that they're moving the United States Embassy to Jerusalem? Isn't that good? Cool? Causing a lot of controversy. But the Jerusalem Bible says about that very verse from James chapter 4, verse 8, the nearer you go to God, the nearer God will come to you. It's a form of reciprocation. Everybody knows what that word means, that if you do something, they'll do it back. It's like whenever I walk over to Betty and give her a kiss, she'll give me two back. Wow, I like that. So I give her a kiss often. Amen. So I want to get those things back. It's reciprocation. I'm only getting back what I'm giving out, right? Isn't that true? It's like in a few months' time, we'll be filling out our income tax, and most people would like to get something back. Well, you've got to put something in to get something back. Amen? So what a wonderful gift at Christmas is to get closer to God. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. I find often that what the Word of God is doing is not only giving us information. You know, I like information. It's nice to read. I mean, newspapers, books, and all that, they give us information. And the Word of God gives us information. The Word of God gives us history of planet Earth. The Word of God gives us truth. But I find it gives us something to help us draw closer to God. Isn't that wonderful about the Word of God? How when you read it, there's something in there that will, if you really dig into it and really study it and really open up the Word of God, you'll find that there's something in there that is drawing you closer into God's heart. So that's what I like about the Word of God. And so the more you get into God's Word, the deeper you'll go in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever found that? The more you grow. You know, the more you dig into God's Word, the more you grow. So the Word, the more we read and study it, the more we let it lodge into our hearts so that we would not sin against the Lord, says the psalmist. The Word is power to draw us into Him. You know, I was reading in Mark chapter 12 this week in my chronological reading, and I like the way the Scriptures take us to something. You know, you can pull one Scripture out like we did here this morning, but you would have to go to the whole chapter of James chapter 4 to really get the drift, if you understand what I'm saying about something. And I find that as you go through a chapter and read more of the Word of God, have you ever found the more you read God's Word, the more you find out stuff? What was it, Betty, you said to me this week? You said something to me that I never noticed that before, and all of a sudden it was there. It's kind of cool when you get to that place. And as I was going through Mark chapter 12 this week, I like the way the Scriptures kind of go on. Because if you were to just read one verse, you would get something out of that verse, but you're not getting the complete thought, if you understand what I'm saying. So you have to take a whole book or a whole chapter, a whole paragraph, and you get into that. And so as I looked at Mark chapter 12, I was going through it, and I got down towards the end of the chapter because there's 44 verses in Mark chapter 12. And if you were just to pull one verse out, you would miss what Jesus is doing here in Mark chapter 12 because He's on a roll here. This is really something neat was happening in Mark chapter 12. And Jesus speaks and He teaches, and He's taking all these events that is rolling down to something, and He takes stories and He takes parables, and I like stories and parables, and in fact we'll be talking about that tonight in our Christmas Eve service. But Mark chapter 12 has these 44 verses, and as you go through this whole chapter, there's all kinds of spiritual meals along the way. I like meals. How about you? They're good for us. But there's all kinds of spiritual meals all the way through this chapter in Mark chapter 12. Now, you go home and read this chapter 12 and you'll find out all the spiritual meals and you'll find out some of the good nuggets that God has for us. But I just want to center in on something here, because if you were to go to verse 28 of those 44 verses, you'll find that that's happening in all this chapter, in the crowd there's this guy who's a scribe. We're not given his name, but he's a scribe. Everybody knows what a scribe is. They're a writer. They write things down. They probably know a lot about the Word of God. And it says, as you're getting closer and closer to verse 28, it says that he was merely a listener. He was listening to what was going on, listening to all these things that Jesus was talking about to the crowds. But it says he listened to them all, and he heard them, and it says that he was reasoning out the conversation. Have you ever been a listener and been reasoning things out? That's what he was doing. He was listening and reasoning out the things that were happening here. And it says the scribe came to the conclusion of what Jesus was saying thus far is that Jesus had answered all the questions well. Good answer, right? Good conclusion to come to. As he heard all these things going through Mark chapter 12, it came down to whatever Jesus was doing, you're doing a pretty good job so far. He said they reasoned it out and he was doing well. And as I read this, I believe the Father was doing some drawing here. I was thinking about today's message, and as I look at this scribe stubborn scribes and hard-hearted at times, and you can't teach a scribe anything like the old dog new tricks, something like that. You can't teach them anything. And I'm thinking that the Father is working on this guy right now as the Son is speaking. You see that? The Father is working through the Son as the Son is dealing with the crowds and all the issues of what's happening here. But now he comes up to Jesus, verse 28, and he says to Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? And so normally what Jesus would throw back a question and, you know, and try to make people think or do something, turn it around. But I like what Jesus does here because I believe that Jesus knows the Father's working here on the heart of this scribe. And so he's not going to beat around the bush. He just lays it right out. He takes him right back to the Old Testament. Mark chapter 12, verse 29, Jesus said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. The scribe said in chapter 12, verse 32, that Jesus said it well, because after all, a scribe would certainly know God's word, would they not? But I like what Jesus said here now. Jesus answered after all this dialogue between the two of them, and he says, you are not far from the kingdom of God. You are not far. Did something just happen with the sound? It just...
It cut out, but you're okay now.
I'm okay now? Oh, thank you. We reasoned that out well. Hallelujah. He said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. For this scribe, it seemed that he was being drawn closer, and the openness of God to him was open for him to enter into a deeper relationship. Did you know that God will put us into different places and times of our life where we're in that place where we could just walk through and get into a deeper relationship with God? And we're put into all kinds of circumstances. If we'll only take that step of faith and walk into that very place, I believe that God wants to take us into that deeper walk. Many times we're plunged into those areas and we have to think, shall I or shall I not? Will I do it? Will I not? And if we do it, I believe that through faith we'll grow deeper in the Lord. So, you are not far from the kingdom of God, Jesus says. I started thinking, how far is far? How far is far? Or how far is not far enough? I mean, we think about how far things can go. But how close can we get to God? And for sure, I don't want to miss anything that God wants to do in the day that I live for him. I don't want to miss out on what God is doing. I've always promised God that, you know, God, if you ever send revival, like I know that revivals could come just like that. It's all of a sudden there's a move of God and you didn't know it was coming. It's not like, you know, there's signs outside the church, revival is Sunday, you know, even though many people put out those kinds of signs, but you don't know if revival is going to happen this Sunday or whatever. I've always said to God, Lord, help me always be in church. Help me be faithful to church, even before I was a pastor. God, because if you ever pour out revival, if you ever bang in on some church where just things pop or anything like that, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. I want to be there in that move of the Spirit of God where there's just a pouring out of the Spirit of God. And I love reading about revivals, but every time I read about them, I say, God, do it today, do it today, do it today, do it with us, do it in Cornwall, do something powerful, do something of great magnitude. We want to get close to you. We want to know you in a better way. So if you want to do revival, I want to be here in church on that day when revival just kind of smacks us in the face and gets us in a deep, 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 deep relationship with Jesus. How about you? So I want to get there. I want to be in a place of revival individually. I want to see the church revived and the Spirit of God poured out upon us. Amen? How about you? And as I say these things, I hope on this Christmas Eve service this morning, I hope I'm getting across to us all today that a brighter and even brighter prospect in our lives for these last days of 2017 and a greater yet for the next year, 2018, should Jesus tarry, is a greater desire to draw closer to him. Why? I think that Paul explains it to the church at Rome and really to us in a very powerful way. He says this, and do this knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Did you know that tomorrow our salvation will be nearer than when we first believed? And the day after it'll even be closer and closer. Every day that ticks by, we're getting closer and closer to the end. We're getting closer. I mean, is that possible? Nearer than when we first believed? And then I looked at that word, awake out of sleep. I don't know why, but I guess it was the Holy Spirit that wanted to plug that in. I would just like to have left that out. But then I went into the Greek, Pierre, because I wanted to find out about this word sleep. And I can't remember if we got into that when we were going through the book of Romans or not, but you know, it doesn't matter because sometimes you learn something new every time you read the Word of God. So as I went through there, I looked at this term, awake from sleep, and the Greek is hypnos, H-U-P-N-O-S, almost sounds like hypnotize, right? Could be a kind of a derivative of that, but it indicates to a physical sleep, or it could be a spiritual sleep. Sometimes you have to look into what it's really directing us to. I went over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30, one of a beautiful scripture that we use around the communion service. And Paul said to the church at Corinth, he says, "For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." So I started thinking, does that mean that they died? Or does that mean that they're hypnos? Like they're spiritually dead or don't realize or can't see or whatever. Then I went to Romans chapter 13, 11, and I realized that Paul was not talking about a death here, but he was talking about a person that could actually be put into this trance or this kind of a slumber, a place where they can't really feel or sense or go deeper in the Lord. It's kind of like, you know, you could be going along in your Christian walk and thinking everything was okay, but you're making compromises. You're doing other things that are not growing your spiritual life. And I believe that many times, even back in the Church of Rome, perhaps they just need to wake up from that sleep that they're in. And Paul got to the place of telling us that we need to cast off the deeds of darkness and behave decently. And sleep indicates to us a stupor or an unconsciousness or an unawareness that accompanies indulging the flesh. We long for the return of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm longing for that return. The more wrinkles I get, the more pain I get, the more snow that falls, I say, "God, please come back before winter sets in. That would be wonderful for me. Please come back before another snowfall." You know, I'm just kind of like that. I guess I'm praying in my flesh in that way, but I'd like to go and see Jesus. But as Paul talks about this, "For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." I'm looking forward to that. You know what the salvation is talking about? That place where we get raptured and we go to the place where Jesus is, whether we go by the grave or by the rapture, I'm looking forward to it. Doesn't matter how he takes me, I just want to go. I've got my ticket. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to get close to him and stay close to him. Thank God that there's scriptures, we find them in the natural and the supernatural. And here we're talking about the natural and the supernatural all in one verse. Some people are sleeping. Some people want to get deeper in the Lord. Some people want to stay here on planet Earth. Some people want to be with Jesus. I don't know what you want to be, but I want to be with Jesus, and I want to get closer to him. Amen? Christmas is a beautiful time of the year. I find Christmas is, if I could put it this way, is like a tool in God's hands. It's like a tool. It's like something that we can use as a church to do dramas, to reach out. Christmas is something that we can use to touch people. And the lights are up and the festivities are going and there seems to be more love these days. I mean, I was out walking the dog this morning just before coming to church. And there's a guy down our street, you know, with the plow going around. You know how the plow comes around and leaves that big, yeah, they're present for us. You know, anyway, this guy, he's from a different country, an immigrant, and I wasn't sure if he was aware of that mound of snow. He thought he could drive through it. But anyway, his car is kind of teetering on it like this. And I'm out walking the dog. I'm in my suit. And I figure, oh, does he need help? And so I'm walking the dog, and I come around the corner, and there's two other dog walkers standing there, and they're in jeans and old pants and everything like that. So anyway, they're standing there talking, and I'm just about ready to say something to them in that effect of this poor guy over here stuck. And I hear the two of them talking away. Do you think we should go help him, push him out, or pull him out of that snowbank? And I thought, thank you, Jesus. You know, these guys have already got the situation in hand, and they're both two good-looking guys, strapping young fellows. They could do it. And so, you know, I thought, hey, that's great. That's great. Just go ahead and do it. But you never know, because as we get into this season, I find love is flowing in the Christmas season. I mean, normally we'd say, oh, tough luck. The guy's in the snowbank. Too bad. Maybe they'll say that in January. I don't know. But seems to be the Christmas season just kind of promotes love, brings love into it. So here's this wonderful, excellent tool that you and I have that placed into our hands, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can go and talk to people about Jesus, and it seems to be everywhere. The nativity scenes hopefully are everywhere, and songs are being played everywhere, even in Walmart, about the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's something we could have. I mean, we could stand up in Walmart after you hear the song, Oh Holy Night, and say, did you hear that song? It talks about Jesus. No. Now, we wouldn't do that, would we? But it would be nice if somehow they could hear the words of the song. But this season is a season to get close to God. You know, I love Christmas because I got saved at Christmas. And so every time I get to the season of Christmas, I remember the year that God convicted me and brought me to the cross and helped me to realize that Jesus wanted me in the fold, and he saved me, and I came into the Father's heart as a Christian. And I can still remember, how many years ago was it, Elvis? It was on a Christmas day, wasn't it? Potatoes. You know, here Elvis is driving along out here on 2nd, and sees this lady with a big bag of potatoes coming. Christmas was on a Sunday that year, and we thought we would have a meal for people who didn't have any family. Betty and I wanted to do something for people around us, and so we invited a few people into the church, and a lady by the name of Kim was carrying a bag of potatoes. We just said to everybody, bring something. She was bringing a bag of potatoes that we could cook. And Elvis is driving along and sees this lady, and it was snowing, wasn't it? Snowing pretty bad that day. I think the roads were pretty bad. And Elvis sees this lady and stops and says, where are you going? And she says, I'm going over to the church here. We're having supper. And, oh, you want me to give you a ride? Of course, she says, can I trust you? Remember? And so he says, yeah, you can trust me. Anyway, nevertheless, here we are sitting around in the kitchen just with a few people, and in walks Elvis on a Christmas day. And you know what? Elvis, you've been here ever since. And we thank God for that. I mean, Christmas, praise God. Yes, thank you, Jesus. There's something happens at this time of the year. Something goes on in the hearts of mankind. It's a beautiful time of the year. I love Christmas. I don't know about you, but I just love this time of year. It's a beautiful time, a beautiful, beautiful time. And I just want to thank God for the beautiful season that you and I have. You know, and I want to end with this because it's really neat. And I talked to my brother yesterday. He called yesterday. And I was upstairs brushing my teeth. Betty answered the phone. I'm spitting out the toothpaste trying to get... I wanted to talk to my brother because, you know, with his Parkinson's, if he can hit the numbers on the phone and get my phone number, I want to talk to my brother Les. And so anyway, I had a conversation with my brother Les, and I told him, I said, Les, you know, next week, Betty and I are planning to come down and to see you on Friday. And so he said, oh, you are? I said, as a matter of fact, I've talked to my brother Ken, my oldest brother, who's not yet saved. Yet, capitalized. Not yet saved. And he's been invited out too. And then I texted my sister in Kingston. I said, by the way, are you able to come down for lunch on Friday? It would take Les out, because I figure if my sister's saved and I'm saved, and now my brother Les is saved, and my brother Ken come and sit with lunch with us, who's not yet saved, three. Amen. One can put 1,000 to flight. So I'm thinking, you know, this would be a good day for my brother Ken to listen to some conversation around this table. But anyway, we had a good talk, and my brother Les can't talk very well because of his Parkinson's. Very hard to make him out at times. But I said, Les, I'm really looking forward to next Friday coming and being with you and at lunchtime. And he says, I'm really looking forward to that too. And I said, Les, I want to let you know, I love you very much. And there was a pause on the phone. And he says, I've never loved you and Linda as much as I do now. Getting closer to God. Closer to God. I'd never loved you and Linda as much as I do now. I tell you, I was just sitting there just broken, y'all. Thanking God for this year. Seeing my brother Les come into the kingdom of God. And the Spirit of God that moves and touches people and draws us closer to Him. Hallelujah. Would the worship team come, please? I love this season. You know, I just thank God for the family of God. You know, I thank God for our church. I praise the Lord for our family here today. And you know, thank you for your cards and your demonstrations of love and your big hugs. And I went back this morning and I hugged Eva and she kissed me on the cheek. And she says, oh, you got lipstick on your cheek. So just rubbed it off before I got to the front here and Betty saw it. You know. So I just love the family of God when we get together. And so from Betty and I, we thank each and every one of you that we are family here. We're together in the bonds of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're family. We're family. We're family. We're family. It's beautiful to be part of the family. And may this Christmas fill your homes with the peace and the joy of Jesus Christ. May this year you come even more closer to God. Merry Christmas to you and your family from Betty and I. Thank God for the family of God. And we're going to sing a song, He is Here. The Savior has been born. And I know that tomorrow we celebrate His birth. But could we stand and just sing this song? And as you do, just ask God. Ask Him, God, would you take me closer? Would you bring me into that depth of knowing your love and your grace and your might and your power? Would you at the conclusion of 2017 just allow me to draw near to God as God draws near to us? Would you do that as we sing this song, please? Hallelujah.
He is here.
Praise you, Jesus.
The Savior has been born.
The one we waited for. Surrounded by our praise. Hallelujah.
The promise of the King.
To you our lives we
bring. Let your glory be.
Yes, God. Reveal your glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He is here.
God. Hallelujah.
Savior has been born, and all of heaven smiles. Glory to God. Bring an offering to
Father, thank you so much for this beautiful, beautiful season of Christmas. God, we are so delighted as your church to be able to offer to those around us the knowledge of Jesus. God, we pray for our communities. We pray for our neighbors. We pray for people that we meet. God, I'm sure that people are rushing somewhere today for that last minute deal, that last minute thing that they want to get that they haven't yet got. Lord, I pray that somehow that last minute deal will be the Lord Jesus Christ for them. I pray, oh God, that the greatest gift ever given to all this planet will be opened today by people in search. They would be searching for you, Lord, longing for you, Lord, even though they don't know it. But God, I pray, whether it's through a song or through a bag of potatoes or however it may be, Lord, all I know is that when some life comes to you, Lord, it's a change. It's a beautiful change. So I pray, Lord, God, at this season, Lord, maybe even tonight, Lord, in the Christmas Eve service, somebody will come to know you, Lord. Somebody will see the lights on in the church tonight and come by and want to come in. We pray, oh God, that somebody, whether it's this church or another Bible-believing church in our community, somewhere, somebody will accept Jesus Christ and will remember this Christmas as a beautiful, beautiful time. So God, for us, we're just rejoicing. Thank you for the songs that we have that draw us closer to you. Thank you for the blessing that we have that brings us closer to the heartbeat of God. So as we go from this place today, Lord, we love you so very much. You first loved us. Thank you for your love. Let us now in turn take that love to the world around us. As we go from this place, let us love somebody out there. We thank you. Bless us as we go. Bring us back tonight to a great Christmas Eve service. And we pray all these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. 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 God bless you. Merry Christmas.